हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 15, chapter 17, Lord Krishna's description of the Varnashram system. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Four verses, 52 to 55, describe the life of a householder who is a jnani, unattached to his duties. Being unattached, he should not be inattentive to hearing and remembering the Lord. Right? So just because he's unattached from the material things doesn't mean he should be unattached from the spiritual things. Yeah. Right, because the tendency is that whatever you're doing to make it work, you do it on everything. Yeah. You know, it's like what do you call it? Like method acting. Even when they're not on the stage, they still act like the character. You know, really annoying, but they do it like that. So the principle is, even though we're being detached from the activities of material, it doesn't mean we're detached from the activities of spiritual life.
All right. Apparently, it's very difficult to practice because we have those who unattached, but they not attached
to anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and then attached.
And they're attached to everything.
To good and bad things.
Yeah. Well, then, but the only problem is then their attachment may have a bit of a sentimental aspect to it, but because it's some connection to Krishna, it's always going to be auspicious, right? And for the other, because they're detached from the material world, then it's always going to be also have that aspect of it's uplifting, it's purifying. But if they're not overly attentive to Krishna, then their detachment is not so, doesn't, it itself's not going to give much gain. So then the gain they'll get is how much they do engage in devotional activities. So the one who's attached and is involved in the devotional activities more will get more benefit than the one who's detached, so he's not entangling himself, but at the same time he's not engaged much in devotional activities. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and then of course the one who's attached to material things and not attached to spiritual, he's going to be in the worst position. But what's recommended is you're not attached to the material, but you're attached to the spiritual. That will be the most dynamic.
So it's a matter of practice.
It's a matter of practice. But without knowledge, you wouldn't look for it. Because the one person who's attached to the material, but they're attached to the spiritual, what if the two conflict? Then that's where then you'll see the problem. Because you say, oh, but they're so advanced and this and that, they're always absorbed. Yes, but at the same time, because of the other one, then that sentimentality will sometimes create a problem. Yeah. Though it's being engaged in Krishna's service, because of that sentiment, that religious sentiment, they are engaging very nicely and very enthusiastically, so that's very good. But if at some point the two are happening at the same time, then you'll generally see they'll take the material. Right? Or if something goes wrong in that spiritual, someone behaves badly or someone doesn't recognize their or appreciate their enthusiasm or stuff like that. So it may need more material support to keep that enthusiasm up. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. He should see that his family is perishable. This means by vision, not see to it. You know? He should see to it that his family is perishable. So that means before you get married, make sure that your family is of perishable origin. Don't, yeah. He sees that future birth in heaven is as temporary as present life. he gives up desire for both. So he doesn't have the attachment to enjoying what he has now or enjoying what he'll get in the future. Because both of them are temporary. Like that. Because if you look at it, now however long your life is, you think back your whole life up to this point, it's just a moment. So it's the same way in the heavenly planets. The same for Brahma. It's just a moment. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, but a householder whose mind is attached to his home and who is thus disturbed by ardent desires to enjoy his money and children, who is lusty after women, who is possessed of a miserly mentality, and who unintelligent thinks everything is mine and I am everything, end quote, is certainly bound in illusion. Quote, oh my poor elderly parents, and my wife with a mere infant in her arms, and my other young children. Without me, they have absolutely no one to protect them and will suffer unbearably. How can my poor relatives possibly leave without me? Right? So it appears to be a pious, a concern, but what's the core point? He's the one that makes it all happen. So it's not as much about concern for them as it is about his position. Yeah. Right? Because if they could function without him, then what is he going to think?
I'm useless.
Then I'm useless. Then they're just going to the mode of ignorance, right? Yeah. Thus, because of his foolish mentality, a householder whose heart is overwhelmed by family attachment is never satisfied. Because whatever it is, you're always trying to do more and more, greater and greater. There's always that, Prabhupada always mentions, it just, the guy asked the doctor, just for a little time more, I have to finish this. But even if he finishes that, then something else will come up. It's never, you can never finish material arrangements. Right? Because it's the Lord's energy. His energy is unlimited. Why would you be able to finish? Right? So the principle of working with the Lord's energy and it not finishing, that's fine. But it has to be his internal potency. Because the external, even though the desires won't finish, the things that the desire's about keep finishing. Right? Somebody says, like, your desire for money is unlimited, but the amount of money you have isn't unlimited, you know. Yeah. Constantly meditating on his relatives, he dies and enters into the darkness of ignorance. Right? So you see, right, just in this one shloka, or this one, you know, set of verses, these two verses here, then Krishna so nicely explains the whole mentality, the qualities, his position, his drive, from when he's a young man and enters into it up to when he's dead. Right? The whole mentality. He just has to, you know, it's like you have a pot of rice, you just have to pick out one grain. Right? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, the faults of attachment to the house are described in three verses. Bondage is shown by a dramatic description. Depiction. I have a baby 1 month old, right? The guy's dying. Why does he have a baby 1 month old? Right? Yes. Without me, the baby cannot survive. Being attacked by enemies. I have children 2 years old. Without me, without a protector, how can they live? Right? So he's thinking all these things that he's so special and all that. Yeah. Conclusion. The system of four varnas and four ashramas, which prescribes material and spiritual duties for the different members of society, appeared from the bodily limbs of the Lord. Members of the higher orders are qualified to accept second birth. After receiving the sacred thread initiation, they should go to live in the Gurukul, the home of the spiritual master. Until the student has completed his Vedic education, he should remain engaged in the ashram of the spiritual master. Should remain completely free of material sense gratification and should not break his vow of celibacy, brahmacharya. So this foundation, if you can do that, then it makes it so strong. And if one goes into grihastha life, because then one has that foundation. Because the whole thing is that still exactly the same principles work in grihastha life. Right? This whole thing of understanding it's not yours and you're not in control, and the sooner you figure that out, the sooner your wife will be happy. Right? That's how it works. You know, if your senses are not controlled, how can you function? The whole point is all the principles of brahmacharya, you have to be using those in grihastha life. And you'll see all problems in grihastha life go back to a lack of having these qualifications. Yes.
We see some traditions, they don't have that point of renunciation of the man, never it happens. Is that a serious weakness in...
If they go into vanaprastha, but the thing is it's like this. If we say, okay, I want 100% results, how much might I get in reality?
70-80.
Okay, what if I say, I want 70-80% results, nothing less, what am I going to get?
40-50.
Yeah, so if there's sannyas ashram, at least you'll get vanaprastha. You understand? So unless there's that sense of that retiring from all this, then you won't actually get. You know, so it's kind of like it's in most of the religions, it's a different life. Let's say you do have the aspect of renunciation, like I don't know if you, because you don't have it in Judaism, you don't have it. I don't know if in Islam they have monks.
Not much.
Not much. Or they're considered a little funny, right? The Sufis and that kind of thing.
Yeah, those, but the mainstream, they don't have.
Don't really have, no. But in Christianity, you have monks, but that's not a natural. It's not a stage in the life. So then the difficulty comes is, will they ever renounce? Will they ever pull back? And just let the next generation do all the things that you've done, you've lived, you've lived your life and all that, and so now it's time to focus more on the Lord. So it's not a strong position. It's kind of whatever you're doing, you just keep doing that, and it doesn't change. It's just that you can't do all the activities you did before,
yeah.
Right? You know, you can't chew on the crunchy stuff. Now you just have to stick to the potato latkes, right? Because they're softer, right? Yeah. No? No idea. He just gives up. He just knows that. What's this guy's talking about? Yeah. So the whole idea of sannyasa is there, then at least you get vanaprastha. And vanaprastha is a strong position. Like that. Because it's dedicated to detachment from household life, but it doesn't necessarily is as dynamic as the sannyas, which means there is no family life. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a little stronger. But as it said, if the responsible son and that, you know, someone can take care of everything, then you can take sannyas. But otherwise, then you see like. So many, they go to the forest with their wife, and then they practice their vanaprastha life there. Like, you know, like Dhritarashtra, you know, to Gandhari, they went, and like that. So you have, it just depends on the situation, but you see, like with Kapila Muni, then the father went because he would take care of the mother. So it just depends on the situation and all that. It's very individual. So that's the advantage of the Vedic system. It does have that individuality to it. Is that? Yeah. Then the next one. An intelligent householder should see that all possible future happiness. Oh, should see that all possible future happiness, just like that which he has already experienced, is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You should understand, oh, in the future, then it'll be so much better. No, it's exactly the same. If nothing's happening now, you know, the plans you have, when you get those plans, it'll still be the same nothing.
Yes.
Because you have to do something with it. We're thinking, if I get this, then it'll all happen. If I get the house, then it'll all be happening. No, it's what you do with the house that makes it happen. So if the place you're in now, you're doing nothing. If you have a bigger place, it'll still be nothing. You know, just more space between the nothingness. That's all. I say. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Deeply considering the actual situation, a liberated soul shall live at home just like a guest. without any sense of proprietorship or false ego, right? Performing the duties, but no sense of proprietorship or false ego. That, like before, that's the weakness of this householder as Krishna defined here, the materialist. He thinks he is the proprietor, and then there's so much false ego. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, it's mine, like that. In this way, he will not be bound or entangled by domestic affairs. He's involved in them, so he's experiencing them, but at the same time, it doesn't entangle. That's where much of the time we think, unless I'm attached to it, unless I have this sense of possession, I won't. That there will be no experience. Experience is going to happen anyway, right? Just like you drop a brick on your foot. Are you attached to the idea of dropping a brick on your foot? No, but do you get an experience? Yes. So the whole point is if you're involved in the activities of family life, even you don't have attachment and all that, doesn't mean that you can't deal with them nicely, and doesn't mean you don't get the same experience. Right? In fact, you might have better experience, because then as the experience is happening, you're taking part. Well, someone who's so attached in that, as it's happening, he's not even dealing with the moment. He's wondering why in the past it wasn't like this, and when in the future will it still be like this? You know what I'm saying? So they don't actually, you know, yeah. No? Okay.
Brahmacharis are getting
toward Vanaprastha. No, Grihastha Brahmacharis is all the way through.
Exactly. But in that one sequence, before Vanaprastha, if the wife dies, situation happens, we don't see a lot about it, but you hear occasionally about
Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha is just the title for, like Adhikari is the title for a Grihastha. Mm. Right? You know, it's just like, such and such das brahmachari. Then you have such and such das adhikari. Such and such das vanachari. That's just the vanaprastha. It's just that we don't put much focus on that because, you know, it's got to be that, you know, I say, probably you'd hear more about it as a, what's it got? Posthumously awarded title. Or, you know, it's kind of like, so, difficulty comes up is that when one comes to the point of the age for Vanaprastha, then at that age, then it's a natural that you it's natural to look at because the mentality changes, right? The whole, you know, for so many reasons it changes. In changing, then one looks at whatever one's done as a Grihastha, and there's a good chance that one will not be necessarily satisfied with the overall results. You know, the material, what you were thinking when you were 20, where you'd be now when you're 50, you're not necessarily there. And so then one has that frustration, all these different aspects. So now the Vedic system is to go, that's because it's not possible to be satisfied. Therefore, now if we look at it, now, what about the devotional development? What about our chanting, associating devotees, studying the scriptures, worshiping the deity? What about that? If you look at that, then you see that's a very nice thing. Mm-hmm. And as the years go, you know, it develops and all that, may get distracted by activities in household life. But, you know, it's a constant thing. So the Vedic thing would be, then you switch, oh, I focus on that. And that switch in mentality, that makes the Vanaprastha.
Yes.
So, therefore, to be engaged in those direct activities, what do you require? Right? So, now, you know, you have a four-bedroom house, this and that, the kids are grown up and all, then you don't need that. Either they take the house or whatever it is, smaller place that you don't have to do much. You know, means, and you look at it, how many programs did you have at your house? Right? Now that one's 50, one can look over. In the last 25 years, you know, we got to think, oh yeah, we have such a big place and that, and then what's always the reason for it? Oh, we can have programs and kirtans and that. Then you think back and yeah, those three kirtans were really good. You know, those three programs are really nice. Yeah. So therefore one can get something that's smaller or, you know, some way that It's that that you don't have to focus much on it. You know, monetarily, time, energy, all these things. And then what are the things that you really like that you can do? Do that. How much money does that require? Only generate that much. So everything goes down, and then the direct activities goes up. That's vanaprastha. Because it's a mentality change. We try to take it that it's an external, you know, it's about the external things. You know, some ritual. Even though we're, how you say, we're not the body and we don't care for rituals. Right? So that's but it's not a ritual. That's why there's no samskar between household life and vanaprastha. There is going from brahmacharya into grihastha, and there is from going out into sannyas. But in there, because where that will happen, how much it'll happen, at what degrees, how long it will take, that's very individual. So it's just a matter of a natural transference of that. And then, if the situation between husband and wife is good and devotional, has that strong element, they're good companions in devotional service, then vanaprastha is naturally done together as a partnership. Now, if it's like one is materialist, one's not, one wants all this, that, and wants to continue grihastha, one doesn't, you know, then if there's, you know, other members of the family, like I said, the son and this and that, then the wife will stay there, or you know, whatever it'll do, or the father gets involved in the business and the wife just starts going to the temple. You know, you stay in that environment, but then you shift gears. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is that it doesn't necessarily have to be done together. Like, even if the wife stays at home with the other family, she may click into that mood, she may not. Eventually she will, but it's just a matter of when, even though the husband has. You know what I'm saying? Or if he gets, you know, if he hasn't, then when he gets too old, then hopefully he does and he doesn't die like this guy here that Krishna pointed out. Right? So it's just a matter of understanding what it is and how it works. If that's understood, then you would see we would have a huge amount of vanaprasthas. But because they don't think like that, then they think they're still grihasthas. Because that was the spiritual. That's the Vedic. The material sense is, oh, all these things went wrong and this and that. And, you know, this could have happened, that could have happened, and it didn't happen. So in our frustration, now they stop whatever they were doing much of the time and go off in a new direction in their occupation. So many times you see professionals, they go into, what do you call it? Doing advisory, consultancy and stuff like that. They start a whole new thing, a whole new life. They go, you know, just do something to satisfy their material whims. And so in the modern, they call it midlife crisis. In the Vedic, it's called being thoughtful and becoming a vanaprastha. Like that. It's the same thing. It's hardwired. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of what you're going to do. Are you going to use an advantage in spiritual life, or are you going to? Is it going to create the second wind for your material life? So that's the whole point. And so in the modern thing, where it's all about the professional and looking good, and what is it? Life starts at 50. You know, but people are dying a little younger now than they used to. Now life starts at 40, like that, and you know. So then it's just geared towards that. It doesn't think, because somehow or another it doesn't seem to be as strong a position. You know? Like that. But in the Vedic senses, the vanaprasthas are considered the chest of the Lord. So that means that's for the protection, that's where all these other elements come in. Does that make sense? So just as the kshatriyas protect the overall society, the vanaprasthas, then they give that protection and shelter to the grihasthas. Because they have experience. They can speak from a detached platform about the reality of what you should do and should not do. You know, so easy. They can, in one sentence, they can tell you what to do. You know what I'm saying? Well, the grihasthas could sit for hours discussing it and not come up with a conclusion because they don't want to. You know, like that. So it's just a natural thing. So it should be there, but it's just a matter of maturity. So, you know, you may have to wait till more people up in their 70s or 80s, then they'll may start to take it more seriously. You know, because vanaprastha doesn't have the social prestige. So, you know, you're the man as the grihastha, and then you can be the man as the sannyasi, but you're not the man as a vanaprastha. You know, because you don't have the facilities and sense gratification, you don't have the other. So therefore it's not as popular amongst the, you know, they say those from the first world. But as far as the principle goes, most everybody from outside of that, from any background that has culture and community, for them it's a very prominent part of their life anyway. Maybe it's not labeled, but you know, that's what grandparents are. They give that advice. They come. They can sit there with the kid all day. You know, all the parents are so busy doing whatever they need to do. You know, like that. They can give that advice. You need, they're there. You don't need, they're not there. They're not, you know, it's like the grihastas, and that you're not calling this. You don't care. You don't this. Vanaprastas. I mean, the grandparents, it's like, you don't call, great. I do whatever I want. You know, whenever you call, I have to do what you want. You know, so they're cool. So it's just a matter of maturity. As the society matures, then it'll be there. But it's a natural part of community. So you have to have those who appreciate community to actually understand the ashrams. If you don't understand community, the ashrams won't make sense. Right? Because otherwise you see, it's grihastas, brahmacharis. Brahmacharis are just, you know, not being honest, they're not being straight, you know, they're not being realistic, they want to get married, they want it like this, and they're just, you know, cheating, you know, themselves and everybody else. So what's the use of this brahmachari ashram? This is not human, right? Humans have society on a big scale. Otherwise, if you don't have it, then you can have community within the few people of the same particular species that you are. You know, and then how great, like dogs, how great is their community? Right? You know, we hear of a few elephants; they have a strong community, like that. You know, sheep all hang out together, but you know, it's not, you know. But you know, you don't really hear of great communities, right? Cows do all right together, but they're in the mode of goodness, so that's going to be a problem, right? So the idea is, that's why Krishna keeps mentioning this, the Acharyas keep mentioning this, is that it's not what's going to produce Krishna consciousness, but it's the favorable situation to maintain yourself to be in Krishna consciousness. And when that's accepted, and then it's accepted for the mood that it is rather than the externals that it is, then the whole process will work easier. But,
there is a lot of it depends on the individual.
It's dependent on the individual. That's the whole thing, is that it's so individual. That's why you don't really, if individual don't take it up, it's not happening. So it's not a set of, so the Vedic system is, it has so many rules, but they're self-imposed. You know they're better. You practice them yourself, especially the higher up you go, like that. Does that make sense? The Brahmin, there's so many rules, but who enforces the rules on the Brahmins? The Brahmin themselves. But with the Kshatriyas, the Brahmins enforce it. The Kshatriyas then for the Vaishyas and Shudras. Like that, the Vaishyas for their Shudras.
Yes.
But that's the thing. So the Shudras have the least amount of rules, but the most force, because all three of them can control. Well, the Brahmin, there's no one to control them, technically. So, but they follow. That's the difference. And so because of that, it's very individual. Well, then we want to make, you know, always the bureaucracy, everything's exactly the same. You know? And the fun part is, many of those who are making this bureaucracy as a kid were fighting, you know, tooth and nail against the concept of bureaucracy and everybody the same and all that. So what to do? The modes of nature are going to work. So Brahminical culture is the real independent culture. You know, the corporate bureaucratic one is one of the most restricting and least accommodating cultural concepts that there is. Because basically, if it doesn't make money, it's not worth having. Yeah, so it's not a very good construct, but popular. But is that good? Okay, chapter 18, description of Varnashram. What was the last one? Okay. Oh, okay. So there's three chapters describing Brahman. Okay. Pratigya. One should logically consider the entire universe, as well as one's material body, to be products of the Lord's illusory energy, and thus give up faith in such things to exclusively meditate on the Supreme Lord. Right? So the question may come about, well, how do we have this detachment and that? This is explaining it. Right? So it's not, Varnashram is not, it means it has a set of rules, because it has that form. But the point is form follows function. Right? And so the function is to become attached to Krishna. So then the Varnashram follows that.
Yes.
Chapter 18 summarizes questions and answers. Krishna continues to answer question 1124 from the previous chapter, Adhyaya Prakashika. The 18th chapter describes life of the Vanaprastha and Sannyasi, right? Because the other chapter, the previous one, it was the Brahmacharya and Grihastha. As well as the general description of a devotee without ashram. Sardatta Darshani 11, 18, 1. So we're waiting to see if that one is Paramahamsa's or us. Okay. Yeah. One who is taking to the Vanaprastha stage of life should leave his wife at home in the care of his sons, or else take her along. Right? It doesn't matter. Whichever is the better situation. Right? And with a peaceful mind, spend the third quarter of his life in the forest. He should accept as his food whatever bulbs, fruits, roots, and so on that grow in the forest, taking sometimes grains cooked by fire and sometimes fruits ripened by time. Right? Because he doesn't pick them green or anything else. It's when they're ripe only, then he'll eat them. So if before that the birds or the kids have eaten them, no fruit. So he doesn't take it and stock it away, and that's Grihasthas do that. Furthermore, he should take as his garments tree bark, grass, leaves, or the skin of a deer. It is prescribed, but it doesn't mention bones in your nose. So just make sure you understand that. It is prescribed that he should perform austerities by not cutting his hair, beard, or nails. Nor should he make any special attempt to remove dirt from his limbs. Right, he takes his bath, and just as you rub like that, but he doesn't get into a whole scrub and get down there and clean all the calluses off of his heels and like that. And you know, so, yeah.
Applying oil.
Yeah, applying oils like that. Yeah, it's just you just take your bath, and what works by that then works. Yes. You see, it's a pretty standard clothes.
That's maybe why it's not very popular in our society. Who wants to wear tree bark?
Well, Sita looked pretty good in her tree bark. The Ravana came and stole her. So. Not that they look bad in tree bark. It's fabric made from tree bark. It's just like one of the finest. Oh, pouring something out. So it's not like we have a tidal wave coming or something. The finest shirt I've ever seen was made from banana tree bark. It was so thin, it's completely transparent. Like that. I don't even know if they still make them and sell them.
They make from bamboo.
Huh?
They make from bamboo now.
They make from bamboo. Yeah, it means that one of the things you can buy is bamboo cloth.
It's very expensive.
Yes, so come on. The Vanaprasthas are walking around in cloth more expensive than the Grihasthas. So that's why they live in the forest. The Grihasthas get so envious that they have to live out of town so that they'll leave them alone.
They save on the rent.
Huh?
They save on the rent. Yeah, they buy that cloth.
Yeah, you either have the fancy house and cheap cloth, or you have the cheap house and the fancy cloth. Right? Yeah, so. It means cloth made from the forest. No, it's not that you peel a piece of bark off and put it around. We're not talking Hawaii here. Like that. And you also don't notice. You also notice that they don't mention a surfboard. It's not part of the vanaprastha. How you say?
Paraphernalia.
The idea is that you're not taking anything from the city. You're taking everything from the forest. So your forest person is self-sufficient. You can make cloth from the things in the forest. Your fruits, grains, roots, all that's coming from the forest. And so then you can live your life there very peacefully. But you're not in the deep forest. You're on the edge of the forest. So as you need, you can take from in the forest, but in the edge of the forest, so grihasthas can come and take advantage of the association. So you're either on the edge of the village, so you're right next to the forest, or you're on the edge of the forest.
Yes.
It's just a matter of either, it's just whatever works for the situation you're in. Like that. Because it's the mentality. It's the problem is the mentality doesn't jive. You know what I'm saying? When midlife crisis hits, then they want to be successful. So they go off in a new direction. That's why we don't have vanaprasthas. Not because, they don't want to wear tree bark. You know what I'm saying? It's because they still think, I got 20 years, I can still do something. No, you got 20 years before you're dead, so why not take advantage? You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Like that. But the point is it's not an excuse. It's the mentality. They're preaching, but do they identify as grihasthas or as vanaprasthas? In other words, is the wife able to take care of all the younger girls that are there in that environment that she's preaching in? Or is she jealous? Vanaprastha, they can take care. Grihastha, then there's rivalry. You understand? It's mentality that is the reason we don't have vanaprasthas. It's mentality that you don't have brahmacharis. Like I think between the Atlantic Pacific, the Rio Grande, and the 49th parallel, then there's one ashram of brahmacharis. There's the second one in New York. Like that. Why not? Before it was all brahmacharis. Because the mentality. What I mentioned before, that, they're just cheating, they're that, they want to get married. So what, they want to get married? Do you want to get trained? It's just like, why is the guy going through the training for work or going to college? He just wants a job and make money. So why all this, unnecessary show and all that, like he's a big, big student? Why not just go out there and get a job? You know what I'm saying? You get training, you get a better job. Does that make sense? So better Prabhupada said, first class brahmachari, first class grihastha. Right? So that's the whole idea is that we're trying to do is that how nicely the training is. So then that's the whole idea is that the external forms are there because we're external, we'll notice those, but it's actually about the internal. So we see Krishna started with the external, but you saw is that the most of the discussion was on the internal mood. But now it's then how that's accomplished, how that's practiced. Now we're starting to get to here. So it's not about that, it's about being simple. Like that. Simple doesn't mean you're not clean and nice and this, because for preaching, for yourself, it doesn't matter. Right? What we can say is, how could we live like that? What happens when the woman is not feeling very enthusiastic or very inspired? What does she wear around the house?
Tree bark.
Yeah. On a good day, tree bark. Old tree bark. Baggy, tree bark. Right? You understand? So they're doing it anyway. So it's only because of inspiration for the items in grihastha life, therefore then there's the dressing nicely. But the vanaprastha, then they're dressing nicely for the preaching. Otherwise, then they sit at home in their sweatsuit tree bark. Yeah, that's the thing, is make sure that your sweatsuit that you wear at home is actually made out of bamboo. Yeah, see, then yeah, then you're officially vanaprastha, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's that whole mood of, if it's accepted, then you can see. Otherwise, then we make, no, but we have to preach. And like how many grihasthas are actually preaching? Right? You know, it's just like, we go, you know, in that same, how do you call it, physical area that I mentioned, between the four borders and all that, down to the southeast corner. Then there's like 2,000 or so members of the community, and the same 30 come to the morning program that have been coming since the last 20, 30 years, with no change. You know, unless someone dies, then there's space for another person, you know, be admitted in the group. It doesn't change. So where is this preaching that they're talking about? You know what I'm saying? When I flew into Miami dressed as a devotee, no one there had ever heard of Hare Krishnas. And that's 6 hours from the biggest community we have in the West. They hadn't heard of them. They thought I was a Buddhist. That's the closest they could get to relate to. I had to explain to them and this and that. Oh, okay, yeah. Never seen a Hari Nam, never seen a devotee. You know, well, in New York, you know, you come in there and you go, you know, what's with the bed sheets? And you go, Hare Krishna. Ah, okay, yeah, right. You know, they all know. So it's mentality. Does that make sense? So if we catch the mentality that Krishna is talking about here, then we'll see is that we can nicely adjust and establish all these ashrams. Because it's not the external form, it's the mentality. You have that, the secondary will follow. You know, you say, oh, there's no facility. No, it'll follow if you have. Does that make sense? It'll automatically. Prabhupada was always talking, already talking about it before. He mentioned that someone's married, this and that, they have the kids growing up, they're going to the school. Then, you know, they're not going to have any more kids. Then they should shift into the vanaprastha mode and just get more into preaching. Like that, because the kids at the school, this and that. So then, you know, that was the idea. So it was already the plan before. Just probably that quote may or may not have been heard by anybody here. But, you know, it's something you probably would talk about. Is that good? Yeah. So check out the bamboo stuff. He should bathe 3 times daily in cold water and sleep on the ground. Okay, so he's bathing 3 times, but he's just, as you take your bath, then that's what he's worried about. Okay. During the hot season, he should stand beneath the fearsome heat of the sun with fires blazing on 4 sides. During the rainy season, he should stand in the midst of the downpour of rain. And during the cold winter, he should submerge himself in water up to his neck. Right? In other words, you just... Vanaprastha means everything's extreme. Like that.
He wants to end his life?
He can. But it's to get to the point where you're not disturbed by these things. Mm-hmm. So you come to the point you're not disturbed, so you're not attached. And for us, it's just a matter of we get into preaching. Like that. But for those who are just pious, they're not devotees, then they could either just find what works for them and maintain that until they leave the body, or they could just make their austerities more and more severe until they leave the body. At some point, you're going to leave your body, so it's just a matter of when. But for the devotee, the idea is that you're trying to detach yourself from these things. So for us, then this naishkarmya, performing your duties to please Krishna, is devotion. Then is your main point. So you don't have to wait till the vanaprastha ashram for this detachment to come. So it doesn't need to be so extreme. Because the idea is that we're only, as grihastha, we're only working for sensual satisfaction. So that means the vanaprastha, we're only working to reduce that. So that's why it's very individual. It's not formalized as such. Does that make sense? You know, there's not a samskar, as such. It means in your own mind you can say, okay, from now I'm going to do this and have that determination, and that's good. But it's not that it requires, it doesn't have a specific ritual.
So, yeah. So Maharaj, If a devotee is trained as Brahmachari and Vyasa before, in one sense it is the same mood.
It's the same mood. All it is that instead of increasing material facilities, now you're decreasing it.
Yes.
Right? Means if you think back, as a Brahmachari, it worked. Yes. Right? Otherwise, how is one now in the age of Vanaprastha? You didn't die when you were, a teenager. Yes. So that means it worked. Yes. Right? And so then, what were the things that made it work? What was the advantage? You could see Krishna's taking care.
Yes.
But if you think about it, as a Grihastha, Krishna's also taking care. So then it's a matter of, okay, well, what is it that we really require? How much food? What kind of food?
Yes.
How often?
Yes.
Like this. What is the minimum we require that works? It's maintainable, sustainable. And then you figure out, and that's what you do. You don't do more. Because Grihastha, then, it's always going outside of that. Try something new. Try something different. Try something. Because, okay, this is not satisfying, but if we try this, maybe that'll be better.
Yes.
You went to the Vietnamese restaurant. It wasn't that great, but everybody says it's great. Maybe because we went to the South Vietnamese restaurant. If we go into the North Vietnamese restaurant, then it would be better. It's actually not the Vietnamese. It's the Cambodian restaurant. Now, that's where it's at. And then you find out, well, that wasn't it either. Well, maybe it's the Thai, but then it's the North Thai, South Thai. Like this. You keep going, and there's never satisfaction. So you figure out, I like to eat this, and then you eat that. And how much variety you require, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know one devotee, he eats spaghetti every day. Right? Anybody had an anxiety, because on anxiety you can't eat spaghetti. Then one day somebody cooked buckwheat spaghetti. He was in ecstasy. So he has variety. Right? Now, every day, regular spaghetti, and then on Kadasi, buckwheat spaghetti. Like that. And that's what he eats every day. So the whole point is you figure out what works for you. What to eat, what you schedule, all these different things, and then you just do that. And then all the rest of the time is spent doing direct things for Krishna. Hearing, chanting, temple services, deity worship, preaching, like that. So, someone says, you know how much physically you can do, and you do that much. If you can do, let's say, 4 hours of preaching, you do 4 hours. You don't do five, because then you can't maintain it. And only on a festival, then, okay, Janmashtami, then you do a little more, this or that. It's like, understood. Something sense. Yeah. So then it's just a matter of using the intelligence and figuring out what practically is actually going to work.
Yes.
And if you say, no, but I have so many desires and this and that, then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But know that at some point you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if that's understood, yes, you do. So it may go some more time and this and that. But the problem is the older you get, the less you have the energy, the patience, and all this for sense gratification. Plus, the higher your standards are. So it's never gets like we said yesterday. Those bachelors looking to get married and now they're in their, 60s or stuff like that. But as they get older, their what do you call it? Expectations go up. So it'll never be there, because... How you say it? Strangely enough, Urvashi is not going to come down here. like that. Even other demigods aren't going to come. Yes?
Maharaj, we know that Brahmanas, their strong side is austerity of the mind. But in terms of the austerity of the body, if they can't really tolerate whatever was explained right now. So how will they do through that stage?
They'll do it. That means the point is if the mind's fixed on it, then they can do. If you're committed to it, that this is what's happening, then you can do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's just a matter, it'll be individual according to them. So let's say someone's a Kshatriya, as a Vanaprastha, he's just going to be way more severe than anybody else. He's got to be. He's a Kshatriya, right? It's like a, what is it? You had the Japanese samurais. And then something went wrong, and so they have to, kill themselves? Seppuku or whatever. And so one guy does, but then, making so much noise and doesn't get very far. And the next guy goes, that's nothing. Watch this. like that. And so it's just, it'll be more severe. So it's explained, and according to your position, it'll be more or less. You know, yeah. So you might have four candles and sitting under, how you say the
under the lamp.
Yeah, under the sun lamp. Yeah. In the AC room. Yeah. But in his mind, it's very austere. Right? Because as the Vanaprastha, they're not scented, the candles, you know. As a Grihastha, they were scented, you know. So. Yeah, because Prabhupada talks about moving to the forest. And he talks about two forests for us, the forest of Vrindavan and the forest of Mayapur. So we're already in the forest. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's why we're putting up a wall here, so that the forest remains. So the point is that it's away from the hustle and bustle of material life. So that's the whole point, and then you're dedicated more to Krishna consciousness. Because so even life here, even though once a Grihastha, it'll be more about Krishna. Like that. So let alone as a Vanaprastha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just that's where the Vanachari name comes from. Like that. You live in the forest. So. You know, so in Vrindavan, it means Vanachari is a general term, but some will take it. That's Vanachari is Vrindavan, and here's Gaur Vanachari, if you want to be specific. But otherwise, it's all Vanachari. Like that.
Maharaj, this is the advantage to live in the holy dham.
Yes.
Because it is a perfection and for any ashram.
Yes. Yeah, and then just one naturally goes through anyway. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And austerity is given without asking.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. Yes.
Another difficulty devotees face sometimes is that the time came for Vanaprastha, but then at the same time the Venus period, you know, comes in into their lives, and then they just can't do that. They as you mentioned, they have to get, you know, married, or they need a new business and like that.
But the thing is you do your best, but never try to rationalize that it's perfectly fine. No, it's not. You know, just like it says, don't go through the order, you know, the ashrams in a funny way or this and that. But devotees can. They shouldn't, but they can. So it's whatever works. The main point is if by getting married, then that will help them become Krishna conscious. But it has to be real, not just you're saying that so that everyone leaves you alone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the whole point. Because whenever you have this sense of possession and that sense of false ego, it will be problem. It will cultivate material life. Because spiritual means you have to give up material possession and give up false ego. So then, you know, why not go in as Krishna says here? You know, without that consideration and all that. So it's a matter of cultivation of the mentality. Because the soul and their intelligence and all that is separate from all these things. The planets are creating situations. They're not controlling you. It's not, oh, I'm here, I'm controlled by this. No, it's just the situation's controlled. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're in a restaurant. It's controlled what the menu is. You still have your free will whether you want to pick that or not. What you want to pick and how you want to deal with it. Where you want to sit, you know, you see, you still have that free will, but it's taken that. No, I'm in this planetary physical, so I'm forced. No, you're not. It's just the situation. Naturally, attachment to a situation and that, then we're going to, you know, behave in a particular way. But it's not that you're forced to. Does that make sense? Because Venus can also be just refinement. So get into deity worship, dress the deities in nice clothes, make outfits, to, you know. Sing kirtan. You know what I'm saying? These are other ways to engage that Venus nature. You know? Does that make sense? Because Venus, I think, controls the voice. So that sweet voice and all that comes from Venus. you know, since Brahmins don't have necessarily strong Venus, that's why they're not necessarily great singers. Individuals you might find do, but, you know. But, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.